राजन् ऋषिभिस्तत्त्वदर्शिभि श्रुतं हि वर्णितं भूरि त्वया सीता पथेरमहु।
O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Report by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because of their doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramchandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramchandra and his activities only as presented by tattva-darshis, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva-darshanah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is a tattva-darshi in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayans or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imagination, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayans, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by tattva-darshis, jnaninas tattva-darshanaha, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate." This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishibhish tattva-darshabhi. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the dynasty emanating, which has been descended from the king of the sun, the Raghu dynasty. And for the pleasure of Maharaj Parikshit, he is about to describe the beautiful and wonderful qualities and characteristics, the unlimited pastimes of that great king of Maharaj Dasarath, Lord Sri Ramchandra. He is describing that it is through the disciplic succession of great personalities who are pure in heart and who have surrendered their lives in the loving service of Lord Sri Ram that the information is being preserved throughout the ages. In fact, in Ramayana itself, we hear how this transcendental knowledge should be received. Valmiki Muni is the original author of this great literature. It is described what his qualification was to hear and to chant the glories of Sri Ram. Valmiki Muni's qualification was that he was the most fallen. He was a murderer and he was a hunter. He was a first-class dacoit. He was a highway robber. He would kill, he would steal. He was quite a ruthless person. This does not sound like much of a qualification for spiritual life. But what happened is this. One day, Sri Narada Muni, who was a great devotee of the Lord, took compassion upon him. It was causeless mercy. He had no pious credits to deserve the mercy of Sri Narada Muni. But Krishna is all merciful. Lord Ramchandra, his mercy is infinite and inconceivable and causeless. The only qualification required is simply to recognize that we are fallen. In that state of mind, to become humble and to receive the mercy of Sri Ram. So when Narada Muni approached Valmiki, just the sight of that great and pure-hearted soul began to transform the wicked heart of Valmiki. And when he heard the ambrosial and sweet and nectarine words of Narada, who did not condemn him for his sins, but rather encouraged him to become perfect, he realized something he had never really understood before. What a terrible situation he had put his life in. He was truly the most fallen of all fallen souls. This was his conclusion. And Narada Muni instructed him that you can purify your heart. You can become perfect. You can become a great saint, a true sadhu, if you simply meditate on the beautiful and holy name of Lord Ram. Because all the glorious qualities of Ram are within the divine sound of his name. Of course, this took place in Treta Yuga. Now, we know from the Shastra that in the age of Treta Yuga, the recommended process of purification is the performance of sacrifice. Harinam Sankirtan is especially recommended in Kali Yuga. But you see, people were so qualified, they were so highly evolved in their consciousness in Treta Yuga, that most people simply would not take very seriously such a simple process as vibrating the tongue and hearing with their ears the name of God. They wanted a challenge. They wanted something that they really had to make sacrifices to achieve. And therefore, the recommended process was massive, massive sacrifices, which are impossible to even imagine the magnitude of in this age. But the fact is, eternally, in all ages, the chanting of the holy name is the perfect process of divine purification. But you see, Valmiki was so fallen, he was so sinful, he was so spiritually disqualified, there was no question of him performing great yajñas. So therefore, Narada Muni simply told him, you chant the name of Ram. That's all. You just do that, and you will become perfect. And this is very instructive, because in this age of Kali Yuga, we are all more or less like Valmiki Munis. And therefore,
Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar.
In this age of Kali, the Lord has so mercifully descended in His holy name. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that same Lord Ram and Krishna, has descended simply to distribute the mercy of the holy name. And to this day, those divine disciplic representatives of Narada Muni are doing the same thing. You see, Narada Muni was not just sitting in a bhajan kutir, just chanting the name of Ram himself. He was traveling, looking for the most fallen souls, such souls as Mugrari the hunter, Valmiki Muni. He was simply traveling here, there, and everywhere, distributing the glories of the holy name out of compassion for all living beings. And similarly, in this great Brahma, Gaudiya, Vaishnav, Sampradaya, we are the children of Narada Muni, spiritually.
Narada Muni Bhajai Vinaradhika Ramana Name.
He's traveling here and there, glorifying the beautiful names of Radhika Raman for the purification of all beings. So this is our service. We are a preaching movement. Our movement is not to discriminate who is qualified or who is disqualified, but to give everyone the chance to receive the causeless mercy of Sri Ram by distributing the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But we can imagine what condition this Valmiki Muni was in. He was in Treta Yuga, where people were so highly qualified, spiritually. And yet, he could not even chant the name of Ram. He tried. It was impossible for him. Due to his sins, the name of Ram would not appear on his mouth. So Narada Muni, that great, great Acharya, knew that you have to preach according to time and circumstance. Narada Muni understood, say anything, do anything, but get people to become Krishna conscious. No hard and fast rules. We have to do the needful. After all, when there is an emergency, when someone's life is being wasted and he's going to hell, you can't expect everyone to accept all the orthodox traditions of the Vedic Shastras. You have to take the essence and somehow or other, by any means, get that person to become Krishna conscious. Narada Muni saw that Valmiki could not chant the name of Ram, which is prescribed in the scriptures. So he did something very, very controversial. He told him, you chant the name of death, Mara. Because you are a devotee of killing, your service is murdering people, so therefore you have a very special connection with Mara. So you chant the name Mara. Very controversial preaching this was. Because he knew, somehow or other, he must become Krishna conscious. So Valmiki, he agreed, I will chant the name of Mara. And with great feeling, he began to chant, Mara, 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 Maram, Ram, Marama, Marama, Rama, Rama, Rama. Rama, 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 Hey Rama! Soon he was chanting the names of Ram. And by chanting the name of Ram, he became completely purified. His heart became relieved of all tendencies and desires for sense gratification. And all that remained was pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Ram. And then Narada Muni instructed Valmiki. He revealed to Valmiki Muni from within his heart and through his words the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Sri Ramchandra. as he descended to this world. And it is described here that there are many histories of the Ramayana, the glories of Lord Ramchandra. But of all of them, the source and essence of all information is coming from Valmiki Muni's Ramayana. Valmiki Muni was living in the forest. He was actually living during the time of Lord Sri Ramchandra. He was such a great devotee that even the Lord himself worshipped the feet of his devotee. And of course, as you know, it describes at the beginning of Valmiki's Ramayana how Lord Brahma, who was the guru of Narada, the param guru of Valmiki, told him that you should broadcast the beautiful story of the Ramayana for all people to benefit from for all time. You should spread these glories everywhere. So at that time, he had two disciples living in his ashram. One was named Lav and one was named Kush. They were the two children of Sita and Ram. And Valmiki Muni spoke the beautiful Ramayana to these two children. And they heard submissively. And then he told them, now whatever you have heard, you go out. You go to the towns and villages. And you chant this beautiful song of the story of Lord Ram for all people to hear. And they went to the city of Ayodhya. And there, they were ascetics. Nobody could recognize that they were the sons of the king. They were living like hermits in the forest. But these two most beautiful and effulgent ascetics began to chant the glories of Ram. And Lord Ram himself heard these glories being chanted by these two young boys in the city of Ayodhya. And he very graciously took them into his kingdom. And he brought Bharat and Shatrughna and Lakshman and all of his intimate associates and devotees. And he told them, let us all hear these beautiful boys singing the glories of Ramchandra, his own glories. And then before Ram and his relatives, Lav and Kush began to narrate the Ramayana. And Valmiki's Ramayana is in fact the narration of Lav and Kush that they presented before Lord Ram himself. They began by explaining that there was a great demon of the name Ravana. This Ravana was such a demoniac personality that he was exploiting the innocent because he wanted to be worshipped and adored. He was forbidding the worship of the Supreme Lord Narayan. He was persecuting the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. And besides that, he was a Rakshasa who was fond of drinking blood and torturing others simply for his own welfare. He built an entire city made of gold in Sri Lanka. And you know, in this world, practically everybody has that Ravana nature within them. What they will do for gold. Kuvera happened to be an intimate relative of Ravana, like a brother. But yet, he wanted the gold of Kuvera. So he defeated him, he humiliated him, and he stole all the gold away from him. Doesn't this sound familiar? The demoniac mentality of Ravana, when it comes into our hearts for greed, we're willing to even disturb our own near and dear relatives, our own loved ones, in order to obtain their wealth. Sri Ravana, he was causing such havoc, even though he had this beautiful kingdom made of pure solid gold, he was not satisfied. He began to build a staircase to Indraloka so he could conquer Indra also and take his abode. In fact, even if he conquered Indraloka, he would have not been satisfied until he conquered every planet within the universe. And even then, he would be dissatisfied. Because one who cannot control the mind and senses cannot be satisfied by any means. But to the degree we cannot control our mind and senses, to that degree we cause havoc to the whole society. So the demigods, they knew that Ravana had received great, great benedictions from Lord Brahma and from Lord Shiva. And therefore he was undefeatable. No one could stop him. So the demigods, being devotees, they were very wise. They understood, in truth, that when all else fails and a situation is beyond our control and we are totally helpless, there is only one shelter: to cry out for the help of God. So the demigods, they began to pray to Lord Brahma that on their behalf they approach Lord Vishnu, because it was only by his power that Ravana could be destroyed. So Lord Narayan gave the message to the devatas that I will soon descend into this world. I will descend on the earthly planet in the Raghu dynasty, and I will appear as the son of King Dasarath. And I want all of you demigods to also assist me in this most wonderful and beautiful lila. You should all beget your expansions and partial expansions into the race of the monkeys in Kishkindha Kshetra. And at a certain time, I will come to you and you will help me kill and destroy this Ravana. Shortly after this message, the sun god Vibhishan, he expanded himself as his own son. I believe it was Sugriva. And Indra expanded himself and begot Bali. And ultimately, although there's a long list, the god of the wind, Vayu, appeared as the most magnificent of all devotees, Sri Hanuman. Meanwhile, in Ayodhya, Maharaj Dasarath, although he was king of the whole Kaushal province. And he had such wealth and such power, and he had 350 beautiful and chaste wives. He had not a single son. He had one daughter of the name Shanta, but no sons. And therefore, he expressed to all his ministers and all his relatives that my whole king brings me no pleasure because I have no son. No one to take over this great dynasty after me. At that time, one of the ministers of Maharaj Dasarath, Sumantra, he reminded that, you know, many years ago, the four Kumaras, they prophesized that you would have a daughter, and that that daughter would marry the great rishi of the name Rishyashringa. And that that great devotee of the Lord would perform a sacrifice for you. And through that sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan will become your son. So as you remember, when you had this daughter Shanta, out of your love for King Romapad, you turned this beautiful girl over to him because he was childless. And sure enough, he married Shanta to Rishyashringa. Now let us go and call him back. So Maharaj Dasarath appealed to Romapad Maharaj, who greeted him with great affection, and Rishyashringa returned to the kingdom of Ayodhya. And there he began to perform a yajna. And he performed this yajna with great faith and great devotion. And through this yajna, the great demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, came to receive their offerings and bestowed the benediction upon Maharaj Dasarath that he would have the four illustrious sons who were all divine expansions of Lord Narayan. Then Maharaj Dasarath took the Mahaprasad from that offering, divided it in half. He gave half to his principal queen, Kaushalya, and the other half he divided in half and gave to Sumitra and Kaikeyi. And soon these three most virtuous queens became impregnated with the effulgent forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it was on this most holy day, the ninth day of the moon, Ram Nomi, that the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ram, appeared as the son of Kaushalya and Dasarath. Lord Ram came to this world especially to destroy the demoniac influence of Ravana and all of his associates, who were the personifications of lust and greed. He also appeared in this world for the purpose of giving pleasure to his devotees. In fact, to this very day, millions of years later, fortunate devotees still take the greatest pleasure in singing the names and glories of Lord Sri Ramchandra. The Ramayana is a literature which describes such a beautiful incarnation of the Lord, how he appeared out of his mercy for all living beings to attract our hearts, to awaken the tears of love in our minds and in our eyes, by appearing like an ordinary man. We read the qualities of Lord Ram. He was the perfect man, the perfect king. He was revealing the ultimate perfection to all of us through his life and through his words. Lord Ram was the most obedient son. When Dasarath wished him to be banished, without even hesitation, to defend the honor and dignity of his father's word, he left for the forest for 14 years. Who can be a better son than this? He was the most perfect disciple. When Vishwamitra Muni told him, "You leave your home, you come with me," he came. Although he was this prince, he was meant to be the next king. Before his guru, he was so humble. He would massage his lotus feet. He would humbly massage his legs. He would go out and collect water and collect wood and do the most menial services for his spiritual master. And he would do nothing without his spiritual master's blessings. Even we know, at the time in Mithila, when Lord Ram was invited to lift and break the bow of Shiva, he would not even approach it. He would not even think of doing it until he received the blessings and permission of his spiritual master, Vishwamitra. He was also the perfect husband. It is the duty of a husband to protect the wife under all circumstances. When Ravana had taken Sita away, in order to protect his wife, he was willing to rage one of the most terrible wars ever seen in this entire creation. He was the perfect king. It is described that he treated each and every citizen in his kingdom exactly as a father would treat his own son. To the extent that when even an insignificant washerman was questioning his morality, he was willing to banish that which he loved most to the forest. It is described even the most insignificant citizen had full rights of entrance to come to the palace and discuss with Lord Ram whatever problems they had. So you may think there were lines and lines and lines of people. Can you imagine if the Prime Minister, if anybody in the country of India could just come and lodge their complaints? There would be lines miles and miles long, 24 hours a day. But the fact is, there were no problems in Ayodhya. Ram was such a perfect king. No, people would just come just to offer their love and obeisance. They loved him as a father, and he loved them as a child. He was also a perfect devotee. Appearing like a human being, he would worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would worship himself. and completely and strictly live according to the codes of the Word of God in his life. Lord Ramchandra, reveal to us the perfection of every aspect of life through his activities. And yet, he revealed the inconceivable power of God's intimate love for his devotees. We find in so many examples, when Dasarath left this world, how Ramchandra for hours and hours and hours simply wept in separation from his beloved devotee and performed all the rites and rituals for his departed father. How when Sita was apprehended by Ravana, how Lord Ram, weeping, was searching through the forest in separation, calling to the trees, to the birds, and to the sky, "Have you seen my beloved Sita?" And while looking for Sita, when he found Jatayu, that great devotee who was very elderly in age, in the body of a large bird, who was laying there with his wings cut, bleeding, on the verge of death, how Lord Ram wept for him, wept for his devotee, knowing that his devotee was willing to give his life in his service. In this way, Lord Ramchandra showed that God is not impersonal. God is not just some formless, senseless existence. But God has perfect, unlimited, ecstatic senses. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead has infinite love for his devotees, has infinite attachment on the spiritual platform for his beloved devotees, and how he is always the well-wisher who is willing to do anything for his devotees. This is the Lord, who is our Father, our Savior, and the goal of our life. And on this very, very holy and auspicious day of Ram Navami, we should spend the entire day discussing the beautiful pastimes of Lord Ramchandra amongst ourselves, chanting his holy names, making wonderful, wonderful arrangements for a grand festival this evening to honor him and his divine descent in this world. It is truly our good fortune that by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this wonderful story of Ramayana is being spoken by the great Acharyas, and it has been passed down through millions of years to us today. And it is a fact that Lord Ramchandra is absolute. And there is no difference between his pastimes and the sound vibration of those same pastimes. The fact is, by hearing the beautiful stories and by hearing the divine name of Lord Ramchandra, we are in fact beyond time and beyond space. We are a part of Lord Ram's Leela. We are living within Ram's Leela. This is the grace, the mercy of the great Mahatmas. So we should be so thankful and so grateful for the mercy of the previous Acharyas for giving us such an opportunity to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this most wonderful and all-attractive form of Lord Ram. Thank you very much.